Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, page 766 in your Schofield Bible. Beginning with the first verse, we'll read through verse 6. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 6, and page 766. We'll read the verses responsively. And may we please stand, as is our custom to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old ways, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. And let's pray. And Father, we thank you that we find in this book, this Bible, all that we need for our hungry hearts. We pray that you'd satisfy every hungry heart, and we pray that you'd put hunger in the heart of those who are not hungry. This indeed is thy word. Please bless it to our help, to our hearing. And of course, before it helps us, we need to hear it. Thank you for our preacher. God bless him tonight and use him in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me, without your turning back to it, read one verse. This is the passage that our Lord chose to use when he preached his first sermon in the synagogue of Nazareth. He turned to the 61st of Isaiah and read, in fact, I think I'll read three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. That sort of sounds like First Baptist Church ministry there, doesn't it? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, this is my text not here, to give unto them beauty for ashes. I love that little line, beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Let me give you just a bit of introduction and explanation before I pray. The prophet Isaiah was a pre-captivity prophet. By that I mean he prophesied before the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. He prophesied that captivity would come if God's people did not turn to God and turn from their sins. However, when they did, he realized they were going to go into sin and go into captivity. He looked down through the telescope of prophecy and told them what was going to happen again someday. These verses we just read are applied threefold. They're applied first to the fact that the people of God would someday come back, and God would give beauty for ashes. Bear in mind that they had left the land left the city of Jerusalem. The city had been destroyed. It was a hubble and a heap of ashes.
The temple had been destroyed. The temple site was simply a hubble of ashes, and their homes were ashes, and their beloved city of Jerusalem was in ashes. And God said, the day is going to come when you're going to go back home and you'll get beauty for ashes. There's a second teaching here that Isaiah is talking about, and that's about the millennial kingdom. When Christ comes again, he'll take the ashes of this world and make beauty out of them. There's a third and spiritual application here, and that is that God can take anybody's life that's ruined and destroyed and take the ashes of that destroyed life and bring beauty into that life from those ashes. The honest, simple truth is 75% of the people in this room tonight did not bring God any nice, beautiful, knotty pine, or you didn't bring him any beautiful white birch, or you didn't bring him any good maple, or you didn't bring him any of expensive redwood. You brought him a bunch of ashes, and what you are, God made out of the ashes of your life. Most of us are people that have been brought to where we are out of the ruins and poverty and in some cases deep sin and many heartbreak and heartache and sorrow, and God has given beauty for ashes. Let me just say also, and I may preach one sermon and pray and preach another, but several times you'll find ashes mentioned in the Bible. In Genesis 18:24, Abraham said, I am but dust and ashes. In 2 Samuel 13:19, Tamar had been raped by her brother Ammon, and the Bible says Tamar had put ashes on her head after she was raped. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 1, when Mordecai heard that his people were going to be killed, the Jews were going to be killed, that Mordecai, the Bible says, he sat in ashes. And then when the people, in Esther chapter 4 and verse 3, it says many of the Jews, when they heard that they were going to be killed, they sat in ashes. In Job chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says that Job sat among the ashes of the garbage of the city. In Job 42 and verse 6, after Job had repented of his pride, Job said, I repent in dust and ashes. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 26, Jeremiah said to Israel, wallow thyself in ashes. He said, you sinned, you're being punished, you're going to captivity. Now he said, wallow thyself in ashes. And then in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 16, Jeremiah was so burdened for his people who had sinned and were in captivity, going into captivity, he said he sat in ashes. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 6, when Jonah had the great revival in Nineveh, it is said that the king of Nineveh sat in repentance and sat in ashes. In Matthew 11:21 and Luke 10:13, Jesus said, woe unto you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, for if the works had been done in the Tyre and Sidon, it had been done in you, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. Ashes, then, in the Bible, symbolize repentance. Ashes symbolize the helpless. Ashes symbolize the suffering. And ashes symbolize the punished. Our Heavenly Father, bless our brief but important message tonight to the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring him your ashes, dear fallen woman of Sychar, and he will give you beauty. Bring him your ashes, dear woman, who's been married 5 times and living with a man who has not been her husband. Bring him your ashes, dear woman of Sychar, the ashes of a wasted life and a ruined life, and he will give you the beauty of being a great soul winner and being used for the glory of God. Bring him your ashes, Jacob, after 20 years of backsliding, after you have deceived your brother Esau, stolen wrongly the blessing of your father, and cheated your brother out of his birthright, and left to go down to Haran and stayed for 20 years away from God. Jacob, bring him your ashes, the ashes of bitterness, the ashes of rebellion, the ashes of backsliding, and he will give you the beauty of being a prince with God. He will name the nation of his people after you. You bring him your ashes. God does not come tonight to you and say to you, bring me your redwood tree. He does not come and say, bring me your maple wood. He does not come and say, bring me your knotty pine or your pretty spruce. He comes to you tonight and says, bring me your ashes. I can build just as good a life out of ashes as I can out of redwood. And I don't care what you, where you are tonight, how far from God you are, or what you've done tonight, you bring the ashes of a wasted life to God, and God will build you a life that's useful and happy in the service of our King. Bring me your ashes, David. Bring me the ashes of lust and adultery with Bathsheba. Bring me the ashes of murder of Uriah. Bring me the leftovers, the ashes of your life, David. And I will give you the beauty of writing the greatest psalms you've ever written in your life. David, you bring me the ashes. I know that you have nothing beautiful about your life. But God says to David, I specialize in making, giving beauty for ashes. I'll give you the beauty of being a great servant of God again. I'll give you the beauty of being a man after my own heart again. David, bring me your ashes. I will give you the beauty of a wonderful, successful, prosperous life. Bring me your ashes, Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. Bring me the ashes of a scarlet past. And I will make you, I'll give you the beauty of being a friend of the Savior. I'll let you walk with him and travel with him. I'll let you strengthen him and encourage him. You bring me your ashes. But, says Magdalene, I wish I had nice wood to give. Jesus said, I don't need wood. I can build a life out of ashes. Bring me your ashes, Magdalene, and I will let you be the one who stands beside the Savior when he's crucified. Bring me your ashes, Magdalene, and I will let you be the witness of the resurrected Christ. And he will appear to you as he appears to nobody else exactly like he'll appear to you. I'll bring you a life that's rich, and I'll bring you a life that's fulfilling. You just bring me your ashes. Let me tell you tonight, I was walking down the alley a while ago, and I was saying, greeting the people that came down the alley. And I said to one of the men, I said, everything in the world comes to church here. Everything in the world comes to church here. I mean, you don't have to go to the zoo. Go to the alley out here and just see what comes to church here. I mean, here's a guy that's stepping on his hair. Oh, for the joy of doing that just one time. But here's a guy stepping on his hair. He comes out and says, hello, Brother Hiles. How are you? And he has nothing but an alcoholic past. He has nothing but a past of addiction to dope. He has nothing but a past of ghetto life. But God doesn't come and say, fooey on you, I'll go to the seminary, and I'll build a life out of beautiful redwood at the seminary. No, God says, you bring me your ashes. Bring me your ashes, public school student who never heard the gospel. Bring me your ashes, bus young people, and bring me your ashes, the leftovers, rescue mission men. Bring me your ashes. You say tonight, I have so little to offer God. God doesn't, he's not interested in what you have to offer him. He's interested in what he has to offer you. And God comes tonight and says, I don't require you to bring me your beautiful bedroom suit or your expensive sofa or your beautiful dinette. I just ask you, bring me the ashes of a life that's been wasted and been burned. And God said, you bring those ashes to me and I'll make something out of your life. Bring me your ashes, Abraham. Abraham, who left the will of God, went down to Egypt because of a famine in the land. Bring me your ashes, Abraham. The ashes of having impregnated a little girl, Hagar. Bring me the ashes, Abraham, of your fathering an illegitimate child. And I want to say what I say so often, brother. I don't care what your past is. Jesus will change your future. I don't care what it is. And by the way, you're welcome in First Baptist Church at Hammond. We got everything in this house tonight, ex-prostitutes to ex-murderers. And then all the rest of you wanted to do both at one time or another. I'm simply saying, God doesn't say, come, ye handsome. God said, he's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise and the base things of this world. Now, God says, bring me your ashes. Abraham, ashes of a fathering a heathen nation. Ashes of fathering an illegitimate child. Bring me your ashes, Abraham, and I will make you a friend of God once again. Bring me your ashes, Peter. The ashes of cursing. The ashes of denying the faith. The ashes of denying the church. The ashes of turning your back on Jesus when he needed you the most. Bring me those ashes, Peter, and I will give you for those ashes the beauty of preaching on Pentecost and seeing 3,000 people saved. I will give you the beauty from those ashes of being a great servant of God. I'll give you the beauty from those ashes of being a great missionary and a martyr and dying, being crucified upside down because you didn't think yourself worthy to be crucified like the Savior was. Bring me your ashes, fallen woman. Bring me your ashes, addict. Bring me your ashes, bus kid. Bring me your ashes, gangland boy. Bring me your ashes, gang member. Bring me your ashes, a prostitute. Bring me your ashes, murderer. Bring me your ashes, a sin-bound one. Bring me your ashes, street people. Bring me your ashes, rescue mission people. Bring me your ashes, skid row people. Bring me your ashes. And God said, I'll give you beauty for those ashes. Bring me your ashes, woman caught in the act of adultery, brought to the Pharisees, to the Savior. Bring me the ashes of your life of having many men. Bring me the ashes of a scarlet past, and I will give you the beauty of immediate forgiveness. I'll make you my child. I'll write your name in heaven. Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, somebody said it once in a while, all you got around here is a bunch of sinners. I said, yeah, come on. Come on. Bring me your ashes, fallen woman. Bring me your ashes, woman found in the act of adultery. Bring me your ashes, and I will forgive you, and I will put your story in the Bible and make you a silent evangelist so people will know as long as people live that Jesus loves sinners and that Jesus can make a life that is fruitful and abundant and prosperous and beneficial to society out of ashes. Bring me your ashes, Thomas. Bring me your ashes of doubt and fear, and I will give you beauty for those ashes. I'll make you a missionary to India. I'll make you one of the great preachers of that land. And I'll make you a martyr, willing to die and dying for the gospel's sake. Just bring me your ashes. Tonight, God does not say to you, like he said, like Naaman thought he should do. Naaman was told by a little maid to go to Elisha and get healed. Elisha said, go down and dip in the Jordan seven times. And Naaman said, that's a muddy, dirty old river. He said, back up where I live, we have the rivers of Pharpar and Abana. They're lovely rivers. I'll go dip in those. And Elisha said, you'll dip where God says dip. You see, what you want to do, you want to bring your beauty to Jesus. He wants your ashes. You want to walk down the aisle, a big, strong, good-looking young man, and you want to say, I'm giving my all to Jesus. Well, he doesn't need your all, Buster. He just needs whatever you have. That's all he needs. Jesus doesn't need beauty. He painted the rainbow. He doesn't need strength. He holds the worlds in place. All he needs is what you are and what you have. Don't come with your beauty. Come with your ashes. Don't come with your own strength. Come with your ashes. Don't come in your own power. Come with your ashes. Come, Abraham, with the ashes of impregnating Hagar. Come, Peter, with the ashes of denial and cursing. Come, Thomas, with the ashes of doubt and fear. Come, Job, with the ashes of pain and loss. And I will give you the beauty of being an example to all people. I'll let your patience point to everybody that lives as long as mankind lives. And I'll let people know that I can take your ashes. Very interesting to me. God did not take Job's wealth. If Job had never lost his wealth, he had never had his name in the Bible. If Job had never lost his health, he had never had his name in the Bible. I mean, God had to strip Job down to no wealth and no health and no children and no friends. And God says, bring me your ashes, Job. And Job brought his ashes to God, and God made him the great man that he was. Bring me your ashes, Saul of Tarsus. Going to Damascus to kill Christian people, persecute God's people, even have their blood on your hands. Bring me your ashes. I will give you the beauty of being the great Apostle Paul. I will give you the beauty of writing most of the New Testament. I'll give you the beauty of taking the gospel to the Western world. Oh, you say for the house, I just don't feel worthy to serve God. Hey, you're getting qualified. You're getting qualified. But you say, preacher, I have so little to offer God. Good, then God can give you what he has to offer you. It is not by your power. It is not by your might. It is not by your talent. It is not by your beauty. It is not by your goodness. It's by your taking your ashes and giving them to Jesus that God uses you. Bring me your ashes, John Mark. Ashes of fear and cowardice. And I will give you the beauty of being the right-hand man to the greatest Christian who ever lived, the Apostle Paul. Bring me your ashes, John Mark. Your ashes of turning back on the first missionary journey when you should have gone on. Give me those ashes, John Mark, and I'll dictate the second book, New Testament, to you, and they'll call the book of Mark after you as long as the Bible is read by my people. Bring me your ashes, he says. And God got ready to bring his Savior into the world. He did not bring him to the seminary of Jerusalem or the college, University of Jerusalem. Our Savior was not found in the nursery of some expensive hospital. God decided to bring his Savior in the world in the womb of a little lady who had nothing to offer but ashes. And I want to say this tonight. Many of you Howells Anderson College boys are going to have to strip down to ashes before you mount anything for God. You charmers. You personality boys. You girl swears. You're not going to mount anything. God's got to get you down to ashes before you can mount anything. God's got to put you on your face. God's got to break your heart. God's got to cause you to say, naught of good that I have done, simply to thy cross I cling. Bring him your ashes. That's what God uses. Bring him your ashes, thief on the cross. That's all you have. You have no time to have any naughty pine. You're dying. You have no time to bring any expensive spruce. You're dying. You have no time to bring any hardwood oak. You're dying. Just bring me the ashes of a life of thievery and maybe murder. There on the cross, give me your ashes. You have nothing else to give. That thief looked and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And God said, bring me those ashes and I'll give you the beauty of being a child of God, going with me today to paradise, and then from paradise, taking the saved in paradise up to heaven and living in heaven forever. Let me tell you, the way to eternal life is the ashes and sackcloth way. The way to being used of God is the sackcloth and ashes way. Bring me your ashes, Jonah. Bring me your ashes. The ashes of rebellion and disobedience. And from those ashes and with those ashes, I will build a great evangelist. From the ashes of that disobedience, I will let you preach the greatest revival the world has ever or will ever see. I'll let you see an entire city saved from the king of that city who will fall in sackcloth and ashes and get saved, to the city council, to the school board. Everybody in the city of Nineveh will be saved, that city of almost 1 million people. Who was the preacher? He was a bunch of ashes brought to God. That's what he was. Bring me your ashes, Billy Sunday. I'll make you a great evangelist. Bring me your ashes, Mel Trotter. One of the most amazing stories ever told. Mel Trotter, the man who probably is the father of the rescue mission ministry in America. Mel Trotter lived over here in Chicago. He was the wickedest man you'd ever see in your life. He had a wife and children, and he'd come home, no food for them. He'd steal from his wife to get money to buy liquor. He'd take the silverware out of the house and sell it to get money to buy liquor. His own little daughter died. He took the shoes off his dead daughter's feet and took those shoes off the corpse of his little girl and sold them for money to buy liquor. Finally, he said, I'll end it all. No need to live. My life is wrecked and ruined. He is walking down to commit suicide, perhaps to jump in the Chicago River. And he heard a group of people on a street corner having a street service. And they were singing one of the songs of God. What was it? Was it Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saves wretch like me? I don't know. What was it? Was it, we've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves? I don't know. What was it? Was it, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins to grief and grief to bear, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer? I don't know. But he heard the people singing, and he stopped to listen, and they sang the songs of hope. And they sang the songs of redemption. And they sang the songs of salvation. And a simple preacher stood up on a street corner in Chicago and preached the gospel. And Mel Trotter walked the pavement there on the corner of a street in Chicago. And his life was, he got born again, and his life was changed. And he brought God his ashes. And from those ashes, dozens and dozens of rescue missions have been started all over America. Let me tell you something. I don't care how deep you've gone. God wants your ashes. I don't care how far you've gone to sin. God wants your ashes. I don't care how wasted your life has been. God says, I can use your ashes. And I'll give you beauty for those ashes. Bring me your ashes, Gomer. Harlot, wife of Hosea. Bring me your ashes of prostitution. And wandering, and a wasted life. And I'll give you the beauty of forgiveness. And let your story of forgiveness be a model story to people everywhere who ever read the Bible. Bring me your ashes, Rahab, and I'll make you a woman of such great faith that your name will be listed in Hebrews 11. Bring me your ashes, Ruth. The little Moabitish girl, unworthy to marry the wealthy Boaz. Bring me your ashes, Ruth. I'll make somebody out of you. Oh, let me tell you something. You little high school young people over here whose daddy is not a deacon here and your mama doesn't sing in the choir, let me tell you something. Our God can take the ashes of your life and make you a great servant of our living Christ. Let me tell you something, you bus kids over here. You bring your ashes to God. You go home tonight to a ghetto area, and this is like heaven to you. And you go home to some dingy apartment house where the rats and the cockroaches fight for preference in your dingy apartment house. And your daddy maybe is an alcoholic, and your mother maybe is immoral, and you go home tonight where there's no Jesus saves and no blessed assurance Jesus is mine. Let me tell you something. God can take your ashes and use you to be a great servant of the Most High God. Let me tell you, rescue mission men up there, tonight your life has been burned by sin and temptation and heartache. Let me tell you something. God will take your ashes and use you. And let me tell you, you blue bloods out there, you, God, as far as God's concerned, all you got's ashes too. I'll give you beauty for your ashes. Come, Gomer. Bring me your ashes of prostitution, of a life away from your husband, Hosea. And I'll give you the beauty of standing there on that slave market one day when Hosea sees his aged wife whom he hasn't seen for years. He buys you back and makes you his wife again. I'll give you beauty for those ashes we had here in Pastor's school. A dear lady, stand right here and testify. She spent her life as a prostitute over in Calumet City. I'd be surprised if she's not sitting in this room right now. She's been in jail how many states? 30 states.
wanted right now in three states. She's been in the dope ring. She heard about First Baptist Church of Hammond. She came to First Baptist Church. She doesn't know the lingo. She stood. You don't change your walk when you've been a prostitute all those years. She stood right here and told how that she came to First Baptist Church. And let me tell you something, brother. She's as welcome here as anybody is. Bring me your ashes. And now she's giving her life to lecture. The schools are using her, and the courts are using her to lecture to young people about the dangers of dope and trying to help them to salvage their lives. I'm simply saying, dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hand some beauty may remain. Don't you make light of these little kids that walk down here without nice clothes on and say, God's calling me to preach. Don't you make light of that. These folks over here look like blue bloods compared to Mel Trotter. Don't you make light of these little people who come down here, young people, 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age, that don't live in nice houses and don't have a car, and don't drive nice cars and come on buses to church. And don't you make fun of them, brother. Our Savior has used people ever since Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. He's chosen the common man, the ashes, to give beauty to the lives of people. And one reason he does that is God gets more glory that way. A man stood here in pastor school, one of our fine men, who served a term in the penitentiary, and told how he brings folks to Christ. Every Sunday he brought somebody down the aisle this morning professing faith in Christ as Savior. Somebody said, you mean to tell me that you got people right here that have been in the penitentiary? Yeah, and we got several thousand more that should have been. And you one of them, honey. Yeah. Let the Pharisees write their articles. Let the Pharisees write their books. But let there be one place in the city of Hammond and one big old church in the world left to say to the whole world, bring in your ashes! Howes loves ashes. Yes, he does. God loves ashes too. Bring him your ashes, Zacchaeus. Thief, crook, extortioner. Bring me your ashes, Zacchaeus, and I will give you the beauty of being a child of God, having your name written in heaven, and I will use you an example for all extortioners and thieves and crooks through all the ages, that I can make something of their lives too. He says this tonight to you, bring me your ashes, fallen woman, and I can make beauty out of your ashes. He says, bring me your ashes, the ashes of your marriage. It's all that's left of your marriage. Bring me the ashes of that marriage, and I'll give you a beautiful and rich life. You say, Brother Hiles, you mean divorced people ought to go to church? Yes, I'm not for divorce, but I think divorced people ought to go to church. And bless your little pea-picking heart. Everyone I run across, I'm going to do what I can to salvage what I can for God. And God comes tonight and says, bring me your ashes. By the way, Pharisees don't have any ashes. They won't admit it. Won't give them to God. God never used a Pharisee. He says, bring me your ashes if you've ruined your life. Bring me your ashes if your plans have gone awry. And the dreams have gone up in smoke. There's nothing left but ashes in your life. Bring me your ashes, former Howes Anderson College student who came to learn and came to prepare to serve God full time. But you got in the wrong crowd and the tempter came and lured you away. And your future has gone up in smoke. Bring me your ashes, God says. I'll give you beauty for them. Bring me your ashes, preacher, who got discouraged in the ministry. Or did something that disqualified you to be in the ministry anymore or pastor anymore. Bring me your ashes, he says, and I'll give you beauty for them. Now the Pharisees won't give you beauty. And the highbrows won't give you beauty. But God says, I'll give you beauty for your ashes. Bring me your ashes, dear murderer. There's some things you'll not be able to do, but I'll tell you what I will give you for. I'll give you beauty for those ashes. Give me your ashes, ex-convict. I'll give you beauty for those ashes. Give me your ashes, addict. I'll give you beauty. Give me your ashes, drunkard. I'll give you beauty. Give me your ashes, skid row dweller. I'll give you beauty. Give me ashes, street people. I'll give you beauty. I wish I had time tonight to bring on this platform several hundred people who brought only ashes to God. Several years ago, a little lady's life was totally wrecked and ruined, not by her sin, but by the sins of others. And she was left with a couple of children to rear, little children to rear. If I remember correctly, I had to send her some money. I'm not sure to get here. I know when she got here, I had to take care of her for a while, give her money for food and help her find a place to stay. Had nothing but ashes. She had no money in the bank to give to God. She had no life that had been perfect to give to God. But God took those ashes and made a beautiful lady out of her. She's reared two fine children that are now teenagers. She's going to become Mrs. Randy Erickson in a few weeks. What she's doing, she's trading old ashes for new ashes. Ashes are a symbol of waste. When a wasted life repents, there's nothing but ashes. And God says, bring them to me. Ashes are a symbol of grief, as Job in the ash heap. God doesn't ask for your maple. God doesn't ask for your hardwood oak. God doesn't ask for your knotty pine or your pretty spruce or expensive redwood. Just bring him your ashes. I can't look at a section. I can't look at a section, upstairs or down, without seeing people all over that section whose lives I know. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strand that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hand, some beauty may remain. He said, Brother Hiles, I'm not very talented. God can take the ashes and make them into beauty. Brother Hiles, I'm not very strong and I'm not very pretty. God can take the ashes and make them into beauty. There's still hope for everybody. There's still hope for you. There's still hope for your husband. There's still hope for your daughter. There's still hope for your son. And ours. Our Heavenly Father.